Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It's my pleasure in the second hour here to introduce somebody that Craig touts all the time as being the world's foremost expert on Islam. And IQ?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask you, there's a question that I wanted to ask you. Lately, over the past, probably about a past month, we've had the Pope, presidents, numerous politicians, and just people of influence throughout the world begin to talk about how peaceful Islam is and things like that. What is the purpose of that? Why are they doing that?
The answer is actually very simple. Let's put it in context. Take a country like France. They have about 8% of the population Muslim. What would the president of France say? He can't say that 99.99% of all acts of terror are committed by Muslims against non-Muslims. He doesn't say that. The Pope doesn't say that. The Pope sees how the Christians in my country, Iraq, in Syria, in the Copts of Egypt, everywhere in the Muslim world, Christians are being decimated, slaughtered, raped, murdered, and exterminated. And yet he doesn't address that. He tells the world that he couldn't find any aggressive verses in the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen who is listening, whoever is listening, any human being, any decent human being with two brain cells of logic, having read only the first 9 chapters of the Quran, can only come to one single conclusion. That Muhammad, his Quran, his Sunnah, Sharia, and his fundamentalist followers are hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, intolerant, duplicitous. You name any characteristic which is negative, this is Islam. I don't say these things with anger, not at all. I say these things because they are based on 30 years of research. Muhammad's Quran, Muhammad's Sunnah and the Quran self-destruct. But you have to read them. You have to read them. You can't depend on your media to tell you what they think. They will lie to you and they'll be lying to you. The point is this. The moment the leader in England, let's say Prime Minister of England or Prime Minister in France, says it is Islam, what do they have to do? They have to close every single mosque. They have to stop the immigration of any Muslim back to Europe. They have to get rid of all those illegals who already arrived. They have to keep in control and under observation the Muslims that are already citizens or grew up in France, in Britain, and anywhere in Europe. Same thing in America, by the way. You will require laws. They are available. They're not draconian laws. They are available. What does the law say in any country, in any democracy? Any group, whichever it may be, that incites to kill, slaughter, plunder another group, cannot be accepted, cannot be allowed to continue. But this is exactly what Islam does. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the last 1,400 years. Nothing about Islam is hidden. Every single Muslim imam, every single Muslim so-called terrorist, suicide bomber, quotes from the Quran, from his God Allah, to justify their deeds. But our media and leaders tell, no, no, these are radical Muslims. They are militant Muslims. They are extremist Muslims. Most of the other Muslims are moderate. It is impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to speak about moderate Muslims. Why? Because they don't exist. The same thing that during World War II and during the Soviet Union, nobody ever talked about extremist Nazi or extremist communist or radical or moderate communist or Nazi. Why? Because everybody knew a Nazi is a Nazi. You can't have shades in Nazism. And you can't have shades in Islam. Anybody who reads the Quran and then reads Hitler's Mein Kampf, you will find hundreds upon hundreds of verses in Mein Kampf, Hitler's book, and Muhammad's Quran, which are identical. But both books, Hitler's Mein Kampf and the Quran, are hate-mongering, war-mongering. They want to dominate the world. What do the Muslims tell us? Every Muslim, ask every Muslim, what is the intention of Islam? It's one purpose. To control every human being under Sharia. It's not a hidden agenda. But our leaders are afraid to face these facts and reality because you have to quarantine Islam. I don't know if you understand what I'm telling you. We have to quarantine Islam because Islam is a virus like Ebola, but Ebola compared to Islam is nothing. Why? Ebola can make maybe 100,000 people sick. Islam has infected 1,500 million people. There is no comparison. People who are listening will say, IQ is exaggerating. Well, let me recite to you one single verse. And then I want you to think about it. And I'm going to quote to you in chapter and verse from the Quran so that you can Google it as I speak. Chapter 5 called Al-Ma'idah, means the table. Verse 51. What does the Quran say? O ye who believe, Muslims, take not the Jews, Yahud in Arabic, and the Christians, Nasara in Arabic, for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other. And he amongst you Muslims that turns to them for friendship is of them. Well, this is in translation in English. It's not complicated. The implication of the last sentence is of immense importance. And I repeat it. And he amongst you Muslims that turns to them, Jews and Christians, for friendship is of them. Meaning that any followers of Muhammad who befriend or are under the rule of Christians or Jews or any other non-Muslim group, for that matter, will be considered apostates to Islam, outsiders to Islam, enemies of Islam who must be slaughtered. Ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell, no Muslim in the United States of America or in any country which is not a Muslim country can ever be loyal to the American Constitution, because it is man-made, not from Allah, Sharia. Nor can any Muslim in the United States of America or Europe or Russia or China be a loyal citizen, because non-Muslim Americans, who are 97% of America today, are called infidels, kuffar, unbelievers, kafirun, to be either subjugated or exterminated. What do you think, sir, so far?
I can't disagree with anything you're saying, and you spoke of leaders. We actually have people leading my country, the United States. They're actually leading us. You were talking to me a little bit about a report you were doing on that.
I would love to. It's a subject that I would like to address today, especially. Are Michelle and Barack Obama and his current administration? Because I would like to enlighten Americans so as not to vote for another despicable, un-American character called Hillary Rodham Clinton. You made a mistake, two mistakes with Obama, it's enough. Similar to my experiences with Muslims, and I've been experiencing these for over 30 years, every time I thought Muslims had reached the bottom of the abyss, they shocked me with even worse dastardly deeds. The same with Obama, the closeted Muslim traitor-in-chief and his despicable wife. Every time they open their sewer mouth, more crap comes out. More racism, more anti-Americanism, and more hate for the Judeo-Christian foundations of this republic, but with unlimited respect for Muslims and Islam. Michelle Obama recently visited England, a few days ago, in fact, as usual on American taxpayers' expenses. And she addressed Muslim Sharia-compliant, hijab-wearing women in London that she empathizes with them because she suffered the same as they did, or as they do, meaning discrimination. Question, really? Is that why she and her treacherous mulatto husband are living in the White House? Was Obama not elected twice by racist, white, mostly Christian Americans? The Muslim women Michelle was addressing were able to meet with her only because they were in European democracy. According to Sharia, the laws of Islam, all females are inferior to males. Muslim females must be subservient to their male counterparts. Any woman who disobeys her husband will end up in Allah's hell, according to Muhammad and his Quran. Husbands can beat their wives with or without a cause. They can have sex with them when, how, and where they have the inclination, and the wife must not refuse. In a nutshell, the females in Islam are treated one step higher up the ladder of evolution than domestic animals. I have absolutely no doubt that many listening to us cannot believe me. Hence, I shall quote to you from the holiest book in Islam, in chapter and verse, so that one can double-check me again.
You may want to save that for when we come back. We'll be right back after this break, and then give us the quote. IQ, before the break, you're about to give us a quote. Please continue.
Okay. Al-Baqarah is chapter 2, verse 223. And the Quran says, your wives are a tilth unto you. So approach your tilth when or how you will. A tilth means a field suitable for plowing. I repeat again for effect. Muhammadan Islam relegates womanhood to the level of a field suitable for plowing and sowing seeds, and the man as the tiller. The Muslim wife is only a sex object for the Muslim husband's pleasure and desires when, where, and how it suits him. What are mandated under Sharia law are immoral, unjust, and unacceptable instructions, such as that a woman can be sexually violated in any manner, time, or place that the Muslim man seems or deems fit. That a husband may beat his wife with or without a reason at will. That a woman cannot sue for divorce on any grounds. More and more of these vile instructions. That a wife cannot leave her house unaccompanied or without his permission. She cannot have any friends unless he approves of them. Women are invariably considered as objects for the Muhammadan man's pleasure and gratification. His plaything. Michelle Obama was addressing Muslim women in England who are not discriminated against under British law, but invariably under their own ungodly Sharia, and have definitely more freedom than under any Islamic state. Michelle Obama had a stellar opportunity to support the liberation of Muslim women from the degrading laws of Sharia, and should have encouraged these Muslim women to unshackle themselves from the oppression of Sharia. But instead, like her husband, Obama, Barack Obama, sided with oppressive Islamic law. Had Michelle suffered from genital mutilation? Why did she not mention this to these allegedly so-called oppressed women by the British people? Over 150,000 girls in the United Kingdom had had genital mutilation committed against them. And they were, and there have been no prosecutions. By the way, the government knows about it. The media knows about it. The police know about it. They don't prosecute. For exactly the same reason that I told you before. They are worried. Worried about what? If and when the Muslims want to start an upheaval, you have the military forces to control them. This is going to happen, by the way, sooner or later. And it's going to be sooner than later now, because millions of Europeans are waking up to the fact that their civilization is being destroyed by the Muslim immigrants, who cannot and will not ever integrate. My question to Michelle Obama, the disloyal, disaffected, duplicitous hypocrite, from whom are these women suffering discrimination? No answer. There will be no answer. Furthermore, considering the fact that Michelle had an excellent education, by the way, Obama used the excuse of a foreign student to get a scholarship, a fact that is on the record. How did Michelle suffer any discrimination? Where? When? And by whom? The Obamas are exactly the same as the Muslims, to whom they actually belong. They are so arrogant and self-centered that they never take responsibility for any of their actions and are always blaming others for any of their mistakes, errors, or stupidities, just like their mentor Muhammad used to do 1400 years ago. One can tell what the character of a person really is by observing the people they associate or surround themselves with. The contemptible Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, Michelle and Barack Obama, as well as other so-called African Americans, invariably associate racism with whites and or Christians. And they never, ever point out that it was Arabs and the black Muslims of Africa who systematized and institutionalized the most ruthless, merciless and genocidal black slave trade in human history. Ladies and gentlemen, the white traders did not go into the heart of Africa to enslave black.
We'll return right after this. We are back on Shattering Myths with the world's foremost expert on Islam, IQ Al-Razuli. And if you would be so kind, IQ, please continue.
Thank you. As I was saying, the white traders did not go into the heart of Africa to enslave blacks, because this ungodly job was conducted by Arabs and black Africans who converted to Islam, who considered and still consider all non-Muslim blacks as inferior creatures who can be slaughtered, enslaved, raped, and plundered at will. Most African Americans find it much easier to blame whites than Muslims, when the historical records of the slave trade are available, proving that the Arabs and the black African Muslims slaughtered, caused to die under inhumane conditions, about 140 million, I repeat, 140 million Africans, so that 14 million who survived were sold to the Americas, with only 5%, or about 700,000, arrived to what we call today the United States of America. But the remainder ended up in the Caribbean and Latin America. Again and again and again, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the same tragic conclusions. The American people have been so dumbed down through decades of left liberal indoctrination to disrespect their constitution, their heritage, their contributions to humanity in general, and America's exceptionalism, to such an extent that most Americans would rather watch Big Brother than stand up for the erosion of their freedoms and the onslaught of intolerant Muslims on the foundations of their Judeo-Christian beliefs and institutions. Tragically, their representatives in Congress are not better either, since they have not had an ounce of brains or courage to impeach Obama at least 5 times. Ladies and gentlemen, before Obama was elected, and it is on the record if somebody wants to listen to them on radio, I told all those who were listening in over 100 talk shows with at least 56 radio stations at the time that Obama was a closeted Muslim who would destroy America. I did not say that willy-nilly. I said that based entirely on his own words and writings. Let me share with you the following facts that most of the liberal news media willfully ignored or dismissed and continue to do so. In his book, Audacity of Hope, he wrote, "I will stand with the Muslims should the political wind shift in an ugly way or direction." The quote comes from page 261 of the paperback edition of the Audacity of Hope. I hope people will check me. It is impossible to misunderstand or misrepresent this statement, especially since his fathers were both Muslims. He was educated in Indonesia in a Muslim school, and his report card said of the Muslim faith. This means when the chips are down, he will go against the United States of America and the American people, which he has been doing for the last 7 years. Before he was elected, he was being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos. The interview, by the way, is available on YouTube. When he said to George, "I'm glad that McCain did not address my Muslim faith." And George corrected him, "Christian," to which Obama corrected himself. Many of his supporters said that was a simple error in an interview and dismissed the case out of hand. Let me ask you a question. Since McCain is a Christian, and Obama is supposedly also a Christian, why in heaven's name would Obama initiate the sentence in the first place regarding McCain and Obama's faith? No reason. McCain would have had absolutely no reason whatsoever to address the faith of Obama since he was supposed to be a Christian. The only reason that Obama blurted this sentence out, because it was a Freudian slip of the tongue, meaning he was admitting he was a Muslim, but realized his mistake when George pointed it out to him, and then he recanted. The third case occurred, again, before he was elected, when he told a crowd of brain-dead admirers that he had visited 57 states and one more to go. His supporters, again, dismissed the case as a simple case of verbal error in the heat of elections. Maybe. But it so happens that the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, has 57 member states. I submit that this also was another Freudian slip of the tongue that his adoring leftist media brushed off and under the rug. Dear Americans, all intelligent people would agree that the proof of honesty and integrity of any human being can only be measured by deeds and not by the sound bites of hot air of words. By one's actions can one be truly judged. And Obama never failed in proving to me how, in proving me wrong, that deep in his soul, he is a closeted Muslim, as I shall demonstrate this with more information. When he moved to the White House, the first person he called was Abbas Abu Mazen, the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization in the West Bank of Israel. The second deed was the removal of the bust of Winston Churchill, from the White House. Because Churchill was, from the point of view of leftist Obama, an imperialist and an enemy of Islam. Churchill wrote a book called The River War and the Reconquest of Sudan. It was published in 1899. One most definitely would not find Churchill's judgment on the cult belief system Muhammad, called Islam, in Obama's book. Dear listeners, be aware that these prescient and beautifully articulated words that I'm going to recite to you were written 126 years ago when Churchill was a war correspondent in the Sudan in Africa, aged about 26 years. He wrote, "How dreadful are the curses which Muhammadanism lays on his votaries. Besides the fanatical frenzy, which is as dangerous in a man as hydrophobia in a dog, there is this fearful, fatalistic apathy. The fact that in Muhammadan law, every woman must belong to some man as his absolute property, either as a child, a wife, or a concubine, must delay the final extinction of slavery until the faith of Islam has ceased to be a great power among men. No stronger retrograde force exists in the world. Far from being moribund, Muhammadanism is a militant and proselytizing faith. It has spread throughout Central Africa, raising fearless warriors at every step. And were it not that Christianity is sheltered in the strong arms of science, the science against which it had vainly struggled, the civilization of modern Europe might fall as fell the civilization of ancient Rome." End of quote. No wonder that Obama, the closeted Muslim, hated him. Another blatantly pro-Islam deed was his lecture that he gave in Cairo on the 4th of June 2009, also on YouTube, by the way, when he forced the most loyal ally of the United States of America in Egypt, President Hosni Mubarak, to allow the Sharia-compliant fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood to be present. I would like you to be aware of what the Muslim Brotherhood stands for with their own motto. And their motto says, "Allah is our objective. Muhammad is our prophet. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the way of Allah is our highest aspiration." Another Muslim leader recited the following aggressive and intolerant Islam. This time, it's an Islamic poem quoted by the Turkish Prime Minister, now President also of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He said, "The mosques are our barracks, the domes our helmets, the minarets our bayonets, and the faithful our soldiers." Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is a pathogenic war machine whose ideas are based entirely upon the warped secretions of their mentor Muhammad, that facilitate the recruitment of criminally minded human beings because they hate mongering, misogynist, warmongering, racist, intolerant, and ungodly verses of Muhammad's Quran are music to the ears of criminals. Muslims, starting with Muhammad 1400 years ago, represented the ultimate organized crime syndicate in human history. Because this is the sole purpose of Islam upon earth, is to plunder, to rape, to murder, to slaughter, not to contribute anything positive. Obama started his lecture by groveling to Islam by saying the following. He said, "I am honored to be in the timeless city of Cairo and to be hosted by two remarkable institutions. For over 1,000 years, Al-Azhar has stood as a beacon of Islamic learning, and for over a century, Cairo University has been a source of Egypt's advancement. Together, you represent the harmony between tradition and progress. I'm grateful for your hospitality and the hospitality of the people of Egypt. I'm also proud to carry with me the goodwill of American people and the greetings of peace from the Muslim communities in my country. Assalamu alaikum.
And we will be right back after this commercial. Welcome back to Shattering Myth. IQ, if you could, please continue your thoughts.
Thank you. The purpose of this talk, I would like our listeners to understand, is to show that Obama is un-American, to show that Hillary Clinton is un-American. If any of you listening can prove a single item I told you now wrong, then vote for Obama and Hillary Clinton. But if any of you or all of you cannot find a single fault of what I'm telling you, then it would be utter stupidity to follow Obama or Hillary Clinton. To continue what I was talking about, Obama continued his lecture, but he unhinged history, contorted facts, and twisted reality. I have not been able to find a single item in his speech that corresponded to facts, not one. For example, the Azhar University of 1,000 years can only produce indoctrinated so-called scholars, imams, and faith leaders of Islam, and only about Islam. Al-Azhar teaches only Quran, Hadith, and Islamic law, Sharia. There are no graduates in subjects outside Muhammad, Quran, and Sharia. Then he talked about Cairo University for 100 years. Cairo University was a secular educational institution. But the standard of education is so low that it is not accredited as a true university either in Europe or the USA. Thank you, Obama, for deliberately misleading the unaware. He continued for almost 1 hour, describing an Islam that never existed with achievements that are myths from his own imagination. He demeaned America and extended the hand of peace and reconciliation with the Muslim world, as if it was the United States of America that was the aggressor against Islam and Muslims. Obama conveniently overlooked the fact that it was Islam and Muslims who had first, as usual, aggressed against the new Republic of the United States of America. Thomas Jefferson, the third United States president, studied the Quran. The very Quran every Muslim in Congress says, oh, Thomas Jefferson read the Quran because he was admiring it. Not true. He studied the Quran to become more knowledgeable about the chief enemy, the Muslim barbary pirates who plundered American ships, enslaving Americans, demanding protection money and ransom for their release. During 1784 to 1789, while Jefferson was ambassador to France, and John Adams, the second U.S. president, was ambassador to England, they met with the Barbary ambassador to London in an attempt to stop the anti-U.S. piracy. This is remarkable. The Barbary ambassador called Sidi Haji Abdul Rahman told them, piracy was founded on the laws of the Prophet Muhammad, as it was written in his Quran, that all nations which had not acknowledged Islam's authority were sinners, kuffar, that it was the Muslims' right and duty to make war upon them and enslave them as prisoners, and that every Muslim slain in battle, jihad, was sure to go to paradise. Jefferson, thank God, refused to pay the tribute to these blood-sucking, unworthy pirates and sent the Marines in. After 4 years of ongoing conflict, the USA stopped paying ransom to the Muslims. Obama very conveniently, did not tell his Muslim audience that it was Muslims who were the aggressors against the USA in the first place. Only recently, on the 23rd of June, this month, Obama hosted his seventh iftar dinner with his Muslim co-religionists. Iftar, by the way, is the evening meal after sunset that concludes the daily fasting during the month of Ramadan. Fundamentalists around the world gather with families, loved ones, and communities to break their fast together. This year, in addition to inviting members of the diplomatic corps, White House staff, and elected officials, there was a special focus on young leaders and women helping communities across the nation.
Thank you, IQ. That was awesome, and I appreciate your time.
I wish we could have had more time, but we'll do it next week.
As do I, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
You take care, sir.
You as well. Until Monday, we'll see you guys then.